I hope what the Lord's given me is won't be too bad of news, because it's really been an area that I've been praying about for quite a few years. It's right in the Word, and then the Lord really spoke to me that this is I would say it's going to be the greatest tool that's been used against, it's not used against, because God's going to allow it to be. Anyway, maybe the Lord will get us down that far. Praise you, the Lord. Father, we just thank you for thy goodness, for thy blessings. We thank you for thy loving kindness, for thy tender mercy. Father, we thank you that you remain the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We're thankful that you're always there. You're always on time. You're always right. And Lord, help us to adjust ourselves to thee this day. And Father, we know even as our best that we have is only as filthy rags in thy sight. And Lord, because thou art so wonderful, thou art so blessed, thou art so holy, and Father, that you're taking us from the old mankind itself and bring us into that place that we might be able to live with you forever and ever and ever. And Father, we realize it's a very special place. It's going to be a special time. And Father, we thank you. We pray that you will not be disappointed in us this day. Help us to be able to rearrange our lives according to thy will, according to thy desire. And Father, we thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. I really wanted to start off a little bit in it's in Luke, but it talks about the man that had the two sons. This man had the two sons and the youngest one, but he wanted to receive his inheritance, and how he went and the father gave it to him. Though the father did give it to him, yet it really wasn't his desire for him to do it, because I believe that he could see the pitfalls and the problems, the times that his son might face danger, his time his son might be moved to a place that of uncertainties. And through that time, the Bible says that he went out and riotous living, lived her up. But God has been showing my heart that this is really a picture of the church. And the church, what we call the church, we call churches the building here and this building here, but God's church is his people. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ means a worldwide, that he looks at us as a body of people. Because I don't think he really sees us as a denomination. He sees us as basically his children. And as I see more and more and more, I believe there's going to be a lot of people that's going to come out of different denominations. But I really believe that it's out of the heart that God sees. It's our steadfastness and our willing to yield ourselves to his callings. And this is an area that many of us find ourselves very hard, because we really don't know many times what is the will of God. And that's basically when we start out, that's why we must read the Word of God. And helpfully we have elders, but a person that didn't have these wonderful people to help, how they might struggle through life itself. But this man here, that when he gave this inheritance, he didn't refuse him, didn't tell him he couldn't go, but he went on and went. And the Bible says that he came to himself. And that's the part that I really got to me. And he came to himself. There comes a time in life when we got to come down and sit down and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I'm not really interested in having all the glories and notoriety and all these phases that seem to come in many Christians' lives. I believe a lot they do is for show, because there's a lot of pleasure in serving God. And the things that God has is a very good lifestyle. It's a very good lifestyle. But it may not be the will of God for us to be in that lifestyle. Do you understand what I'm saying? It might be out of the will of God. It may be too easy of a task for us. The Lord might want us out here sort of having a little tougher, because it is a good lifestyle, I really believe. It's one of the highest callings, and it's a very wonderful calling, but I don't believe it's all the calling that we see as man wants to project it as God's final calling, because I believe his calling is beyond description. And he looks in our hearts, And he's calling for a people who will be come above the cares of this world. And I truly believe, this is from me, but I believe that our churches, especially the Pentecostal churches, have not really let the people grow into the love that God had for them. I believe that the traditional churches come more doing that because they're just a certain word that they're giving out and they do it through the word. And I believe that they're going to receive a reward through that. I don't know how God's going to judge, but anyway, I believe because the Bible says he that knoweth a lot is more required and had better have known the way and depart from the way. So us spirit-filled people who have been doctrinated for years ago, we have to come beyond a lukewarm condition as I read the word. I'm not judging it. God, he does all the judging. But I believe there's a safety in all of this. And one conclusion is being full of the Holy Ghost. It has to be the most magnificent. When I was thinking today, there's nothing like that great joy. There's nothing like that great peace that satisfies, that's able to keep us through the times of hard going, when if we didn't have it, we could not make it. But there's something about the glory that I feel right now, the glory that comes down. There's nothing that can compare with God's glory. It's enough within itself. It's enough within what God has given us. And the Bible says we took nothing in this world and neither can we take nothing out of this world. In this, we must be content whatever state that we find ourselves in. And I believe this is the most of the place that people are searching because they're not content in their, what they have in the Lord. And I found myself in that same place and I had to admit I was not satisfied. And I'm glad God doesn't want us to be satisfied in what we have, but he is satisfied. But we don't have to be satisfied with our own self. I was satisfied with the Lord. But I wasn't satisfied with the way that I was standing up the position that I would be as of the Lord. And that place, I was very disappointed in my life. Very discouraged because I knew that God had something wonderful. He had something so peaceful, so without any words to describe his splendor, his glory that he wants to bestow upon his beloved. And his beloved becomes the church. It becomes his bride. It becomes the one that should be so in love with Jesus. They would be willing to take nothing less than Jesus. They would not really be desiring silver and gold. Because I see all these other facets of life that we can get. They just take us from God. They don't bring us to God. And many times that the callings that we want to get ourselves in actually pulls us away from God because of the busyness of the situation. It can keep us so busy that we have not time to come in that place that I need to keep my soul, my spirit in tune with the living God. But I only hear from heaven, and that should be my greatest desire above all the characters, you might call them, of the Bible, that through that I would wish for that. I believe that is the desire, the greatest desire that we can have is making that complete. Because the Bible says, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. So God sees it as a great desire. And that desire has to come through his leadership. If we can't get this any other way through, we sure can't get it through fighting, fretting, trying to have our own way. We know these are quite the opposites of what God has. We get it as we keep our minds stayed upon the living God. It says, he shall keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because we trust in thee. Out of the abundance of heart, the mouth speaketh. This morning, God was speaking to my heart and I was found myself in a place of having to cook breakfast and all the things, and I found myself not being able to to stay in that position that I have so long been able to because of the task that's before me. And I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. But he says, I understand. But the highest obligation that we can have is keeping that desire. But we can't keep it because we got to do things as unto the Lord. And God expects us to take care of our families. He expects us to do what's right. He expects us to pay our bills. He expects us to be truthful. He expects us to be above any examination anyone would come to seek our faith, that our words would be our bond, and our words would be God's bond, and our words would be like a river of life flowing through us. And that becomes there's a couple forces that works within us. We want to come to that, and we know to stay spiritually that we need to come in this place, but God understands. But we can do these other duties that we have as unto the Lord. Because we're not going to let any guile come into their mind. We're not going to allow any bad reports come into their mind. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. And he will renew our mind with workings from heaven. But we got to look at ourselves. We got to judge ourselves that we'll be judged of no man. The natural man receives not the things from the Spirit of God. For this is spirit-filled people too. For the foolish unto him, neither can he know them, for the spiritual discern. But the spiritual man judgeth all things, yet himself is judged no man. When you're walking in the spirit where you should be, you don't have to worry about praying for unforgiveness. You don't have to worry. It takes a lot of burden off your heart. Because you're walking in a place of dedication as to God. And God doesn't want us to be burdened down with problems of having to make restitution all the time. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. But we have times we got to make sure that we're in a place that we don't have to continually seek God for correction. And what he has given us is the power of the Holy Ghost. And this power, when we're very young, should be instilled in us that we need to birth it at that very bottom condition that he's our guide above our father, our mother. He will make it that we're not going to go against our father and mother, but still he is an absolute will stay from our childhood to the day that God takes us back into glory. So as he comes in to be the resider or the keeper of our lives, he instills his love within us. He instills his faithfulness in us. Yes, we'll be tried at times, but we're not in the same way that you don't have the Spirit, because you're doing the will of God to keep the Spirit of God. You get out of step with God and you're going to lose the Spirit of God. So this is mandatory that the first thing to play ball with God, we've got to keep the Spirit. And all these, many of the Bible studies, we can eliminate them if we're in the Spirit. They that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. There is no deception in the Spirit. So we have to learn how we should walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another. And so, as we see that's why a Spirit-filled church cannot work, hear me, if it's got both forces in the leadership of that church. Because you've got natural people as good as they want to be, but you've got those that are led by the Spirit. The Spirit of God has to be the landmark, the identification for all of our leadership, for all of our direction. And so many people, and I've seen it, this is what happens, bless their hearts, I'm not against them, but we as Spirit-filled churches should have the leadership moving through the Spirit. There's no question about it. They should not be novices. They should be one set aside doing the will of God. Like the early church, they now wanted 7 people that they could take the pressure off the apostles. Remember, Stephen was called out one. And these were dedicated people. They were dedicated people. Stephen was a real man of God. Stephen did the will of God. And God's the same yesterday and forever. Amen. The same rules He had then, He has for us today. Why we're in trouble as we double-talking God. And God doesn't want double-talk. He is talk Himself. We're talking something that's not inspired by heaven. And that puts us in wrong. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And that's what we're doing. God's spoken to me, and I know it's true, and I'm bringing it out. Many people are in question all the time because they do not know what the Spirit says. If they don't go someplace where the Spirit is and learn to the place that they can be adapt to the pressures of God. But worldliness will bring us in a place of question through the Spirit. And not putting people down that move in the flesh, because there are many, many churches I know that move this area, they move through the mind. Through the Spirit, it's a little different. You move through the Spirit of God. And it takes the pressure off of you, have to choose for situations. And you gotta believe this, or you can't move in the Spirit. But that's where the problem comes in the Spirit. Your mind is telling you to do this, and the Spirit is telling you to do this. And many times we do what the mind says and not do what the Spirit says. So after a while, then that's when this darkness starts coming into our minds. And through that darkness, we come to a place that we think everything's right. But we're like a person that's a little off base up here. Not totally right in the thinking, in the natural. We find it very hard to cope in these areas because, but where the Spirit of the Lord is, it's easier than us trying to do it within ourselves. But like that, God puts you to the test. It's like here a couple of months ago when the Lord woke me up and says, why don't you go out and cut those trees down? And I said, no, I don't really want to go up with the wind blowing. And the Spirit of God says, trust me. Now, if I had listened to my mind, I surely would not have done it. Because my wife was upset, and I shouldn't have said anything to her because it just compounds the problem sometimes because natural men, as good as they are, don't understand the Spirit. And that's the problem we're having in the churches. But probably one out of so many can move in the Spirit. And I heard something the other day. I got this, that there's a survey that's going, has gone out, and basically all the churches that take, this is for America. And what I'm giving out tonight is for America. America needs to wake up. America, I'm not saying your church to wake up because that's between them and God. But America itself has some devilish things that they're doing. They're out of step with God, and they are not going to find peace with God the way they're going. And when you can hear, like I heard this day about there's people that go to the computer and do devilish things, that's terrible. These are young girls that I heard. Yeah, I didn't even watch it, but Betty told me what they did. And this is terrible, the effect that many things are having on our hearts. And it's not the computer, it's not wrong, but the things that we do with, we can take an old devilish book and look at it, it becomes a problem for us. We read something that's not from God, it's a problem for us. And we must come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and He shall receive us, and He'll be a father unto you, and we shall be His sons and daughters. But when we go against God, then in Romans 1, it says that He blinds their eyes to go about to do foolish, and they do foolish things afterward. I've heard it so many times, this is about the homosexual. No, this is what happens when people get there. Then they become like the homosexuals. They have no leadership. They have no cause. There's no conscience down here. When we lose the godly conscience in us, there's something here that God puts us in us when we're a child, that we know that when we start going against the things, there's something in here that makes his whole heart go pitter-patter. And I know that if I start saying a lie, then my heart goes rapid. When it gets out of step, God made this vessel that we live in to live in his presence. That we cannot live with the cares of this world. That's when we need to come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord. And God will touch us with his mighty hand. But that's living here. And we need to take this a little farther. But that's not the totally being, because we're going to miss the rapture. We're going to miss out. And we think it's bad now. It's going to be terribly hard when we miss out. When we miss the wonderful blessings that the prayers have come down upon this earth. And the bad people have received the blessings. They've received that option that they can walk down the street without being maybe gunned down or all but when this comes to a place, it will not be safe to walk. It's not going to be safe to talk. It's going to be a hindrance wherever you go. And I'm not here to make people afraid, but we have a refuge. We have a way of escape. And it really doesn't care what we have, whether I have anything, because I don't want to have anything. I want to do the will of God. And I want to be at that place that God can call me, and I have no hindrances. I have no hang-ups. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us, and help us to run that race with patience. We're more than conquerors through Him which loved us. But we all must come to that place that we examine ourselves. The Bible says that in the Corinthians there, as we take communion, it says, let a man examine himself. And that examination goes daily. The Bible says if we take communion wrongfully, we will bring damnation to our soul. We should not take communion unless we're right stead with God. I talked to my pastor the other day, and I told pastor, I said, I am not in agreement about what you're doing with communion, because this is what makes people stunted. This is what makes people not holy. This is what makes people ill, is when we go against some of God's guidelines. But that let us examine ourselves is so, it should be a daily exercise. A daily, like a checklist. You know, airplane pilots, even the small airplane, they have a checklist. And they run down that checklist, they double check it, generally twice, make sure they didn't miss any areas. Vince Flynn, if he wouldn't have done that checklist, he wouldn't have got killed. But he found out he had no gas. He should have checked. And when he pulled the twin engine, it flipped itself upside down. Of course, Vince Flynn was a very prominent man in this area. God has some special warnings for us. He's got some special blessings. And warnings can be good if we will take heed to the warnings. God keeps us in line by following His directions. The Bible says His directions are not grievous. What He says is not going to hurt us. But when we get hurt is when we don't obey what He's saying. Now this is what we're saying is sort of fundamental. But we need to realize this is the work of the Spirit within you. And when you start out, you have the tutorship, should be in the churches, the elders. The Bible talks about the elders, the mothers, and also the men, to elder, to lift and encourage the younger ones. So they start growing in these areas that they would not make mistakes. God realized we will make mistakes. And we must make mistakes because we're not familiar with where our surroundings. When we start growing, we start having a belief. We have such a faith in the Spirit of God that we're afraid to move without Him. He is our way maker. He is our keeper. He will be with us through the times of troubles, through the nighttime. When we feel like we're alone, He's there. He's our friend. And we must learn that He is our friend. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The enemy comes to bring in these in our minds. He'll trouble us with fear. He'll trouble us with worry. He'll trouble us not doing something. He'll trouble us because we can't get our bills paid. He will trouble us. How am I going to make it tomorrow? He will trouble us through the night, and tomorrow will take care of itself. And I've had trouble in these areas. This is the areas that I've had trouble. But I have been able to, even though I've had trouble, to come God's way. And even though I fret sometimes, I still come His way. I think if we're all truthful, this old man, the old woman, and it says, and ye have be quickened who are dead in trespasses and sin, for we once all walked according to the course of this world. So we've all came from the same place. We came from the line of sin. But God has transformed us, translated us in His kingdom, whom we have redemption through His blood, even forgiveness of sin. That's in the Word. that we might walk pleasing unto the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful in every good work. We cannot do this without having the Holy Spirit within us. His presence. The presence of God. The one that enables. We lose, but see, pastors are against us because they lose their handhold on us. But we can bless that pastor just as much. We're not there to hinder him, we're there to bless him. But we find out that he's not the top. God's the top. Amen. And God is faithful. God is the way. He is the truth and life. No one comes to the Father but by him. He is the way, the truth and life. He is our liberty. Where his Spirit is, there is liberty. And when you have liberty, you have great peace. You have the liberty America's had up to a certain time. We've had liberty. But it's because of a lot of brave men and women who've given their lives for this nation that we might have peace. We pay the price for what we've had. And we do the same in the Spirit of God. We're going to pay a price. You can't do some of the things that the world does. You can't do some of the talk that the world talks about. And some of the places they go, surely we can't go. Because if we go, there's going to be a wrong spirit there, and it's going to nab us. It's going to take us down. And we need to stay in that place that he is my covering. He's my everything. And like the 91st Psalms, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Seeing that, the Bible says in Psalms, it says, he is over us, he's in front of us, he's behind us, he's my right hand, and he's my left. He's all over us. We don't see him, but he's there. The presence of God is here to illuminate his glory, to strengthen us. He sees us as that we're made out of dust. He remembers that we're able to make mistakes. For that reason, he puts our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered. All we got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. That's all we got to do. And he'll even let, how many times? 70 times 7. A day, that's 490 times. And Jesus said, that's more than that. But there's areas that God wants us to come in. He says that he wants us to be faithful and follow him. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. What we're doing, the world says, you know, look at those people. They're over there having a Bible study tonight. They're over there doing and they see this as just we're losing out. But we're not. I have more fun in the presence of God than I would never be satisfied going to, I had a friend of mine that had a houseboat up on Shasta Lake. And he said, I need to get you. I said, I'm not going. He says, why won't you go? And I said, because I cannot be partakers of the things that you people do. And I said, I love you, but I don't love what you're doing. Oh, well, that ain't going to hurt you. I said, well, it might not hurt you. But I said, it does hurt you too. Because I don't think you can do those devilish things without it hurting you somewhere. You're going to have a headache tomorrow. And you're going to, they've even proven it. The people that drink, they know it affects your mind. It affects your remembrance. It affects a lot about you. Anything that we do that is impure takes away from this body. God has given us a body that he might be live within us. His presence, there's fullness of joy. His right hand, pleasures evermore. I really believe that we need to have the Comforter. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father sent in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Hallelujah! Even caterpillar, housewives, sewing, wherever the need is, he's able to bring it to your remembrance. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him which loves us. It says, I'm persuaded that neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to stop right now and say, Lord, I just love you. Lord, I praise you, Lord. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Savior, I praise you because you're so glorious. Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is the precious gift. He is blessed, 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 blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is righteous. He is holy. He is glorious. And Lord, I love you. The glory of God is very wonderful. Very special. Glory to God. The Bible says, building up yourself the most holy faith, pray it in the Holy Ghost. There is something wonderful about praying into a state that you don't know not what you're praying. Somehow God uses it to clarify the cobwebs that we get in our system. And this is when we're full of the Spirit of God. He wants us to pray because there's interference that comes in that keeps us not in total alignment with the Holy Ghost that's within us. And we have as we take time to be holy, as we pray, and we don't know what's going on, but we're still praying because we feel that it's going to enable us, that the Bible says that we need it to edify ourselves. In Corinthians it says that we must be edified by the praying in the tongue. It's there to, sometimes the tongue is not to be interpreted. This is a time when you pray, and that it's just to glorify God. And many times, if you want to know what the will of God is, pray in the Spirit. If you want to know what the answer is, pray in the Spirit. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll do this, the answer will come. It may take you a day or 2 days, but if you'll keep on, it will come. God has never lost a core ship, and God will keep you. And this is where you start finding direction. Pray in the Spirit. And you pray in yourself. You pray for God that He might reward you openly. And you do not do this just that men might see you and exalt you, because we have nothing to exalt. God needs to be exalted. God is the one that we need to lift up. It's Him only that we lift up. I get worried when someone starts, because I don't want to receive anything. I want to give God all the glory. And it upsets me when people treat my God so terribly. I believe that many, many, many of God's people treat my God terrible. They don't let Him move like He wants to move. He wants to touch them. We, as God's people, this body, we need to take great examination over what we have. We have a vessel that this is what the tool, if you'll get where you should be, that you can do God's leadership in this world. And this is what He wishes to take place, that by when you come to that place, that you give yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When we do this, we become a channel that God can use for His glory. My son, my daughter, I have great faith in them, and all heaven views you, and the glory views you, and if you will stay where you are, thou can speak for me, and I, the Lord thy God, as thou shalt speak it out, shall come to pass. He cometh, Sheila, and God is speaking this day for America. We need to believe that this service right here is going to go to America, because God said there's a problem in America this day, and if we can have a house that Lot, that Abraham, that God told Abraham, if thou can find so many righteous people, I will not destroy Sodom. But there's not that many righteous. But God sees those that are righteous, and they become a tower of obedience for God, that God can use them to lift up holy hands and change the tactics. He can change the tactics, the way that God disperses His works. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, turn from the wicked ways, they will hear from heaven, and I shall forgive their sins and heal the land. What a mighty statement. If we shall turn from our wicked ways, that He will forgive our sins and heal our land. What a blessing. And He wants to use us for His glory. Why should He call you through the middle of the night that you to pray for someone? It's because when you pray, God acts on your prayers. God could just, He could just, the second, just have this whole world just ship shape. Because God just figured it'd be done. But He wishes, He uses us to change the changes above our standards when we're not making changes for God. That God can have that much faith and belief in each one of us here tonight, that, or whoever you are, that God can change the course of the universes by your prayers. Look at those in the past who've done the same. 3.5 years it didn't rain upon earth. Praise God. Because of a man that was faithful. And James, it says, he prayed earnestly, and he was a man such as we are, but yet he was with God where he should be, Elijah. And with that, he prayed earnestly that the heavens would not declare any water for that 3.5 years. And then the end of that 3.5 years, he prayed, and that God says, and Gehazi, he said, if there's a man, he said, that God's hand, he said, go get the chariot. There's going to be rain. And so God uses people. God uses, and we become the people that he can use wherever we are. And that's why we need to be in the spirit. God cannot use us in our natural abilities. The natural man receives not the things from the spirit of God, but are foolish of him. Neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. But it takes the spirit man. And the Bible says that the spirit of God will be a calm upon us, that we might be able to bless others, that we might fulfill that endowment on high, that we might receive the blessings from heaven. It says, quench not the spirit. And that quench the spirit in our churches is probably the greatest, biggest tool that the enemy has used in the churches. I understand why they quench the spirit, because the problem that the churches have with people moving in the flesh, because people move in the flesh, and they're claiming to be in the spirit, but they're not in the spirit. But see, the Bible says that they're to have at least 3 prophets, that every time they speak, if it's not of God, this is not of God. It says, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministries, that the work of God would not be hindered, but come in the blessings from heaven, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry. We need to realize that God has a purpose. It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, everything give thanks, for this will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Grieve not the spirit, it says in other places. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed for the day of redemption. That's in Ephesians. If we grieve the Holy Spirit, that's an area where this darkness can get applied to us. And we need to be careful, because in these times, it's a stain that puts upon a person that you don't really understand what's taking place. It's like you give a person a shot of Novocaine. He's not feeling a lot of it. And if you give him a real shot, you know, it affects your mental. But we get out of step from God, and God allows a spirit of darkness that comes upon us. I've really been making a study upon this, because seeing what God has said, but he has said a lot, glory to God. But it says, and this I say and testify of the Lord, that ye walk henceforth no longer as the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. This happens. See, the Gentiles had a nature, it wasn't from God. And so when Gentiles got out of step with God, they just relied on their own way, but their own way was not in step with God. God has to change our nature. Our nature is not the most delight nature. It's sort of, we're out of step. We're not holy. There's something in us that we get kicks doing things wrong sometimes. Now we sort of talk about old people and people, you know, they do things that's not quite right, and we laugh about it. But that's part of our bringing up many times, because we're not where we should be. When we lose our respect, we do things that we wouldn't normally do. That's why as older people, we need to stay close to the Lord, not allowing any eruptions by the enemy in our life. Because it'll bring us to a place that when we're old, when we lose our facilities within us, many times this happens. The old part that was not really one true to the Lord will come out. It's like weeds that haven't been taken care of in your lawn. Pretty soon they'll come up. And many times we see this in the elder because of that not perfect transformation. This is even in Christians. And that's why we need to take heed to things of God. We can cover many things up, but our lives, God sees us, sees through us. He sees that we're mismanaged, alienated from the life of God. You think about, he's not even seeing us. Alienated from the life. What tragedy. From the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness that's in their heart. That's the word of God. Because of the blindness that's in their heart. And God has actually put this upon people himself. Not the devil. But this blindness comes as we reject God. God says, told the people that Israel that they, because thou savorest me not with joyfulness, and thou doesn't believe, lost their faith in me, he said he's going to turn them over, that things shall come to pass. And I took it today, I believe, as God said, that's a sentence that he puts on us many times. In this earth, we can receive sentences because of our not right behavior. When our behavior gets substandard with God, he has to sometimes put us down. It's not because he doesn't love us. The children of Israel, he loved Israel. He always loved Israel. But because of their coming against him continually as they was going into the promised land, he said that thou shalt be in bondage these other countries, and thou shalt go through problems, and thou shalt be sick. Thou will have things that's going to come. There shall be plagues. Because having the blessings, it'll be the curses. And this was sad because Israel was God's beloved. And we see that how Israel, even from that day on, even the day that they came and had their kings, they had the judges, and how Samuel pleaded with the people not to have a king, but they wanted to be like the other nations. And how Israel had departed from the living God. And Israel had quit wanting to serve God out of the spirit of truth. The Bible says we must worship God in the spirit and in truth. These are areas in our lives that we must grow under God's blessings. But God is here to strengthen us. He's here to help us. In Revelation that said that God seen us. He's talking about the churches. Revelation 3 and 1. He could see us as we could say that we were blessed. But God says, you're not. I see you as dead. And then we go down and he says, well, I think the 17th verse it said that he sees us, that we need help. And they said, no, we don't, we have it all. And that scripture goes back that I must seek God, that I must come to that place that I will search God from heaven for myself. We gotta search for God. We gotta move through him. We gotta be willing. It's a hard situation to stand before the living true and the Bible says it's pointed in the man wants to die, then comes the judgment. And I know that none of us like to even think about that time, but that is going to be a sure time that we'll all will face God. The Bible says, but it's written, I have not seen, neither ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man, the things that are prepared for them to love God. God has given us a very special blessing. He's given us an inheritance that fades not away. He's given us the will, the obedience that we can be thankful. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Happy is the man whose God is the Lord. When we frown, when we fret, God is not really, we're not a blessing to God. God wants us to let our light so shine in America. Even though we're going through dark times, he wants to let our light shine, that we might shine and our lights would be as a brightness to others. That we would be sure that we don't have no darkness within our lives. Because the Bible says the pathway of the just is a shining light that shines more and more to that most perfect day. There's a perfect light that God has given us and it's going to grow brighter and brighter to the day that we go to heaven. Our lives should grow in the Lord. We shouldn't diminish, but we should grow brighter. We should grow more dedicated day by day instead of getting worse off. I need to grow closer to God. I need to seek His God. And one of the areas of the son that left his father, he came back. He reached for the Father, and the Father, he was going to the Father. He left the Father, and I believe that is a great thing that's happening to us. Many times our churches, our people, our America is growing from the Father. We need to come back to the Father, and we must purpose in our heart that that would take place. He purposed in his heart that he's going back to the Father. He purposed. He says, even my Father, his health is better off than I am. His servants are better off. I will go back and ask him if I could just be a helper. Just living in the Father's house is a lot better off than me living down in this terrible place, eating the corn husks and all the things that taken place after he did this riotous living. But yet he came back, and his Father seen him afar off, and he seen him, and he was received him joyfully. And God will always receive us joyfully. If we will call upon him, he will answer us and show us great and mighty things that we know not. We need to seek God. Say, Lord, I love you. I praise you, Lord. I want to come back. I want to rededicate my life. I want to come to a closer walk this day. I want to walk in thy presence. I want to walk in thy glory. I want to lift up holy hands without wrath. I want to seek thy face. I want to be above reproach. I want to abstain from all appearance of evil. I want to come out from among them. I want to be separate, said the Lord. I want to walk in thy blessings. I want to walk in the privilege from heaven. Be steadfast and move always about the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. I want to take that to heart, that I would lay aside every weight and sin that's easy to set me, and help me run that race with patience, that I might keep my eyes upon thee, looking for the hasten to come in the day when the heavens be on fire. Hallelujah, that I would lift my eyes above the hills. Whence comes my help? For my help comes from the Lord. God is here to bless us this day, to rearrange our lives, to enable us. We're more than conquerors through him, which helps us. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, I love you this day. I thank you this day. I appreciate you this day. For I would say to thee, my beloved, I say, trying times are above for this America, said the Spirit of God. For I'm here this day to insulate my blessings upon my beloved. But I say, for this nation, thou hast failed the Lord thy God. And this nation is in deep sin, said the Spirit of God. For I'm looking for a people, a holy people, will pray for this nation, will seek and believe for this nation. But I say the time is very short. My coming is very soon. And I say this nation has put its place in a place of many problems. This nation has obligated itself and the sin. This nation has come to a way above what I've called them to be under. This nation is being impounded by the powers of darkness, and they might be moved upon with great weights of disappointment to the Lord their God. This country has gone to a place they're missing the mark. For I say there's great destruction in this land. I say this world sees it. They see this country as projecting two images. We project the image of the Lord thy God. But I say in reality they live with homosexual values. They live with Hollywood's truth throughout the world. They see all this damnableness that comes, and they see all the destructions. They see all the pitfalls. They see the things that movie makers make are beyond description, and they bring the soul down to a devil's hell. And maybe even the people of the world understand this. That's not good for their people to see. And I say this land has living in, we're living into many funnels of different occupations. I say that for there's one righteous, there's many, many that are devilish. And I say there's many that, one that prays, I say many have forgotten how to pray. For many have lost their true values. Many have no longer purchased the blessings. For my people who live above reproach, that they might be able to draw that one that's in darkness. They might bring that one out of fire itself. That my people be strong enough, the Lord, that they might dictate the cares of these ones that do not know me this day, those who have once known me, that they might have the power, my people would have the anointing, the strength within them to be able to cope with the powers of darkness. My people are not sure of themselves no longer. They've lost that first love. They do not know their path. They have forgotten. And they've forgotten that I, the Lord thy God, want those who will have a positive belief in the Lord their God, that their God is able to do great and mighty things. And they are not afraid to stand in that gap, to make up a hedge. They're not afraid to stand before the world this day and lift up that name above thou name, the name of Jesus, the name that is higher. And they're able to proclaim the Holy Ghost from heaven. They're able to lift up that name to a higher calling. For I'm calling for my church as a holy people, a people without discouragement, a people without wrath, a people that walk in victory, a people that believe in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they will believe in miracles, they will believe in healing, they will believe in righteousness, they will believe in pure living, they will believe in the things from heaven, they will believe that I'm coming through the clouds of glory, that they will believe that I am the righteous God, they will believe in the things that I, the Lord thy God, have chosen, they will believe in my word, they will believe in my righteousness, they will believe in my coming, and they shall believe in holiness, they shall believe that I'm coming very shortly, and then for 1,000 years, and they shall believe what my word says, and they shall adapt to my word, they shall walk upright before in my word, and they shall not be defeated, they shall walk in my grace, and they shall walk in my holiness, and my people shall be directed by the living God. But I say there's many of my church this day that do not follow my pattern. They have forgotten my precepts. They've forgotten my plans. They've forgotten my spirit. They've forgotten they're working in their own flesh, in their own concern, in their own conceit. And they've forgotten that I am the Lord their God, and I am the one that made all things and have given them a time upon this earth. They're like the prodigal son. I have given them a time that they would go out and they spent what I gave them. And I say there is no return what they have given. And I say there is no return on the investment I have given to them. They have no return. They have lost souls. And my people have lost more than they gained. I'm looking for a people that will walk in the Spirit, that they will walk, and they shall do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, but they will walk in victory. They will walk in my blessings, and they shall walk in my love, and nothing shall touch them. But I shall keep thee through the times of oppression, and I shall bless thee forevermore. Be not afraid, for I, the Lord thy God, loveth thee. I love those who make covenant with me. But I say for those who will not make covenant with the Holy Ghost from heaven, and will not be desirous of his callings. But I say many in my churches have lost that first love. They've lost that love they do not have. They've lost that presence of God. They've lost that desire to serve me with all their heart. And I say they have lost the faith. And I say without faith it's impossible to please the living God. My people must be a separated people, a holy people, a righteous people. And I say I'm not asking for too much, said the Spirit of God, for I will help those ones, and I shall help those that those things can be made real if they shall just believe. I do not ask much of my people. If they shall come, I shall enable them to help them to do all these things that I wish for them to do. They will not do it within their own selves, but if they shall come to me, I shall let them grow in my blessings, and my blessings shall grow into the obedience that I'm able to use these ones in a mighty way in these last hours, that they will not have to be afraid, that they will not have to be no longer walking in disobedience, but they will walk in my love. They will walk obeying their Father in heaven. They will be obedient to the Holy Ghost is within them, and they will achieve the things for Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is the propitiation of our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. For I say, the Lord thy God, there is no other name in heaven for one can be saved but in that name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We praise you for this day. We thank you for this word. We thank you in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I know it was real heavy tonight because there were some heavy things that God's had to speak. I'm not really able to, but God's able. Lets me realize how that I'm nothing. I don't even know what went on tonight, but I lose it pretty fast.